thank you all for coming tonight. Would you please join me in our Pledge of the Flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, I would like the clerk to read the established rules. Okay. I will do that. I'm going to ask the clerk to read the established rules and procedures for Town of Cambria Board Meeting, adopted January 3rd, 1980.
Go get what?
Well, let's try to get a microphone, I guess, right?
Public hearing, everybody has to hear.
Just relax, we're going to work on it. Just relax. Yes, please.
Oh, I got to stop shaking.
I would like to ask the clerk to read the established rules of procedure for town board meetings adopted January 3rd, 1980.
Number one, matters to be discussed must be on the agenda. Number two, supervisor may permit additional matters to be discussed after all matters on the agenda have been acted upon. Number three, the supervisor may set aside the agenda to permit those in the audience to address the board. Number four, no member of the public shall engage in any demonstration, booing, hand clapping, or otherwise disrupt the formality of the town board meetings. Number five, no member of the public shall be permitted to address the town board unless recognized by the supervisor. In no event may any such person speak on one occasion for more than 5 minutes. Number six, any person speaking to the town board with the consent of the supervisor shall address his or her remarks to the town board, not to other members of the audience. Number seven, any person recognized, bless you, by the supervisor shall give his name and the nature of his business briefly. Number eight, no person has the right to demand an answer to a specific question from a member of the board. All such questions shall be directed to the supervisor, who may answer them himself, bless you, or refer questions to the town attorney or to a town board member of his choice.
I'm sorry, can I ask a question?
Yes.
A lot of those say about the supervisor, is he calling or do these not qualify because he's not here?
When we get to that, we'll have an explanation through the meeting, okay? He's not here at this point. At this time, our town attorney, Abe Platt, would like to speak.
There are a lot of people here. I'm sure there's a lot of questions. This obviously is not really a place or a setup for a back and forth, so I would like to go line by line through what's being proposed to provide an explanation or rationale for the change, and just to give more background information on this project in general before we open the public hearing. So this is with regard to the first local law that is on the agenda, the E-code law. So on E-code, what this was about 2 years ago in mid-2023, the town of Cambria decided to retain general code services to do a codification of its various laws. Up until that point, the town's laws are passed sort of piecemeal, haphazardly, local laws, ordinances. They aren't really organized, so Cambria decided to codify them basically putting them in an organized encyclopedic form, which is what most municipalities had done probably 25 years ago. So it was a long overdue.
I'm speaking to the microphone, so people in the back.
Can anybody hear me? I've got to read, so I'll do the best I can.
If
it starts to get wavy, just raise your hand. I'll try to do the best I can. But I'm going to try to read to you because I'm trying to read from the actual document. So backing up, 2023, the prior administration, the prior town attorney, the town planner decided to undertake this project of codifying the town's various laws, ordinances, local laws, so that it's easier for everyone to research, to find a point of law, because without the codification, what you're left is you're left to try to go to the website or the books, and there are plenty. Each ordinance, each local law had its own, it is its own animal. It was very cumbersome, and this is again to simplify the way you can access the laws that govern the town. So what E-Code does is they have a legal team. They have a team that this is what they do.
No, you're good. You're good.
All right. This is what they do. They go through the town's history of laws. They organize them. As they're organizing them, they're organizing them alphabetically, which makes sense. So you start with animals, you go down to zoning. So again, even that is a simple little step to do. So as they're filtering through, they are taking the sections and ordinances, the sections and local laws, and they're converting them to the town code. So they're reassigning chapter numbers, they're reassigning section numbers, they're organizing. As they're organizing the substantive parts of the law, the meat of the law, they are flagging for the town areas that are either inconsistent, outdated, or could need revision for a number of reasons. So they perform this codification, and at the end they generate this list of flagged items. They pose these flagged items to the town for consideration. The flagged items were then at that point, again in 2023, disseminated to the town attorney, to the town planner, to the building department, to the highway department, whoever would have the expertise to weigh in on what we should do. And then a consensus was made, decision. We basically just at the end of last year, going into the beginning of this year, got through the process of formalizing all the decisions. So every issue that was flagged was either said, no, that's fine, we're going to leave it the way it is, or if we have to make a choice because something is outdated, we choose at that point which way to go. The list of changes. So the list of changes is under Schedule A. So there are two aspects to the local law. One is to establish the town code. That's Article 1, the adoption of the code. That's basically just to adopt this format, post it online. It's in, Tamara had the book. It's in a book if you want to still read a book, but it's online. Go online. It's much easier. When you go to E-Code, you'll see every town basically in New York State is on E-Code. The second part is the Schedule A. Those are changes to the text of the ordinances, the text of the laws. Those have to be incorporated because we're passing a local law. Those are changes that would be incorporated in this local law. And I'm going to go through each and every line item of the Schedule A so that people understand why we're making that change or what is even changing, if anything. There are three main goals that the E-Code team tried to impress upon the town, and three goals that were pursued by the town when considering these changes. One was to remove any mention of a set fee in these ordinances, because the fees change over time. The town board has the authority to alter these fees. So they'll alter a fee. Let's say you have an ordinance passed in 1975. It lists a fee from 1975. The town board might have passed a resolution changing the fee several times since then, but if you go back to the law books, you got the old ordinance. So a lot of the changes were to remove the set fee so that going forward, any citation to a fee in the E-code, in the town code, will refer to the clerk's fee schedule, And if you go online, it should have a hyperlink, so you can literally just click on it, see what 2025 or going forward, what the fee schedule is. So you'll always have an up-to-date idea. You won't have to say, well, this says it's $50 here. This was in 1980. I better call the clerk and see what it is, you know, 2025. So it's to remove those set fees, make it easier for people to understand without having to make extra phone calls. The second goal of E-code was to remove internal citations. This, the zoning ordinance in particular, was full of internal citations. That's citations to different parts of itself, so that if you wanted an answer, you would go, you would see this section, it would point you to this other section, you'd have to flip to that section, you'd have to read that, go back to the original section. The goal to remove the internal citations was to take out the reference to the other section and literally just print what you find on that page right there in the section. So it's designed to make it easier to read. The third was, because a lot of these areas of law had, you know, there's enforcement mechanisms and penalties, and they were haphazardly sort of ad hoc put into place over the years, there really is a wide variety of penalties. They're sort of all over the board. And in condensing and recodifying, modernization in New York State, basically, modern municipalities have siloed a lot of these violations into basically two categories. One, your misdemeanor, or your violation level. The state law sort of dictates what the max for a violation level offense is in terms of fine, incarceration, etc. And misdemeanor, same thing, fine, incarceration level. Depending on when the original law was passed, there you could be in the middle of both. So essentially what the E-code was trying to do was to standardize these penalties so that they made more sense. And you'll see examples of this as I go through. I can tell what issues were hot button issues in the year that the law was passed based on how high the penalties were. I think time has tamped down some of the temperatures there. But those are the three things you're going to hear a lot of, are getting rid of the internal citations, and removing the set fees, and standardizing penalties. So I will literally just want to, I don't know if you have copies of Schedule A, starting at the top of Schedule A, the first change, so now we are actually talking about changes to the law itself, not just the process by which it's codified. So Chapter 56, Animals. There are two changes here. The animals, this is a local law from 2010. So it was passed in 2010. The first change, 56.5b, changes the fee from $18 to $21. Why? Because since 2010, the state added a $3 fee that was enacted since 2010. We are revising it to incorporate that $3 fee. And since that time, a $10 late fee was added if you're late on renewing your dog license. So that's incorporated in to this code since it's passed since 2010. Chapter 63. So battery energy storage systems used to be housed under the zoning ordinance. Because the zoning ordinance was the closest thing that the town had to a compiled list of subjects, a lot went into the zoning ordinance. What this code is doing is sort of breaking that out into its own chapter. So what used to be sections in the zoning ordinance is now given its own chapter, Chapter 63, the battery energy storage systems. Section 63-12, there you see the amendment there. That is to change the internal reference, because in the zoning ordinance, it refers to a section of the zoning ordinance. Now that this has a new home in the code in Chapter 63, it's changed to refer to, in the code, where you would find this, the penalty. So it literally is changing from a reference to the code to reference to, you know, Chapter 288, Zoning, Section 288, 1205. That's where it's going to be in the code. This is a lot easier to explain if you're looking at it. But again, this change just directs you to where this section is now going to be in the E-code. Chapter 70, this is a building construction and fire prevention. This is a section 70-11A, so that everyone's following along. This is a codification of a local law that was passed in 2023. So this law here has been on the books in the town of Cambria for 2 years. The reason why it was changed in 2023 was because just before the town implemented this, the New York State Building and Fire Code
made these changes. So this is a codification of the local law in 2023, building, construction, fire prevention. The code sections are now going to be broken down to Chapter 70 instead of just shoehorned into the zoning ordinance, so that they're easier to identify. If you have a building code question, you go to Chapter 70. The change that's being implemented here is in the local law, the three areas where an inspection of a public area is required. So you have the assembly area, you have the schools and colleges, and then you have the all other non-residential occupancies. In the 2023 local law, it says at least once, and then it gives a range up to 12 months. In the law, it says up to 12 months. For Section 2, it says up to 12 months. And for Section 3, it says up to 36 months. The only change here is that the town is deciding we're going to set it to the max. We're just going to say 12 months, 12 months, 36 months. Because it had a range before, they're just picking 12, 12, or 36, so that it's clear. Because if you just look at the local law, it could be anywhere up to 12 months, 12 months, 36. So it's just codifying and cementing what the actual requirement is for a law that's been on the books for 2 years. Chapter 102, flood damage prevention. This is a local law from 2028. At the time it was passed in 2028, there was a set fee. 2008. When it was passed in 2008, it was a $500 permit fee. What they're doing is you're removing that permit fee and you're just referring to the town clerk's fee schedule. You're going to hear that a lot. We're removing a fee from 17 years ago and we're just referring to the clerk. That was a lot of money back in 2008. I can't imagine what it is now. Chapter 109, freshwater wetlands. This is an interesting one because when the town implemented its freshwater wetlands protection code, it included a note from the DEC in the actual text that was enacted, and the note was instructions on how to go about the decision of making exceptions, additions, or modifications to the provision of the act. That was a note. It's like essentially stage directions. So they put the stage directions in the body of the bill. This just eliminates that note because it literally is an instruction to the town board on how to go about thinking about making an exception when the case comes to it. And it refers to the department's guidance from August 6, 1976. So it's completely unnecessary. It was stage direction, so they're taking that out because it's just confusing. Because that's direct to the town, not the reader. Chapter 116, Games of Chance. This was a 1981 ordinance. It used to refer to the New York State Racing and Wagering Board. That no longer exists. They've updated their name to the New York State Gaming Commission. This amends that by updating the name. Chapter 127, mobile homes, mobile home parks. This is a 1975 ordinance. And I would imagine that in 1975, there was a lot of issues in the towns about mobile home parks because they set some pretty high penalties. But Section 127-7B, we're again removing the set license fee and just providing it as a fee set by the board. 127-22A, that updates the citation because they referred to it as the fire prevention ordinance, when now that's been updated to the New York Uniform Fire Prevention and Building Code. So again, it's just updating what it's referring to. Section 127, this is reducing the penalties for a violation of this section. Back in 1975, if you have violated this section, the law allows for up to a $250 fine or incarceration for 6 months or both. That's one of these areas where the penalty sort of falls in between the violation level and the misdemeanor level. New York State modern ordinances want to try to silo one into the other. This is in the middle, so basically the town is deciding to reduce that potential penalty down to the violation level, which penalties for violations in New York State are a maximum of $250 fine or 15 days in jail or both. So they're basically turning this down to the violation level. And again, it was passed in 1975. Maybe it was a bigger deal back then, but not so much anymore. Chapter 135, the noise ordinance. This was a 2010 local law. And basically what they're doing is they had to choose between where to set this. This is one of these, there was penalties that were sort of not really in one or the other. They are assigning this sort of as the violation level versus the misdemeanor level. So they're amending the penalties, the maximum penalty to be a $250 fine or 15 days in jail versus the other decision was, do we make this a $1,000 fine or a year in jail? They decided to go on the violation side, so they're making that making it clear in the noise ordinance. Chapter 142, notification of defects. That's a 1991 local law. They gave the town highway superintendent 5 days to notify the supervisor of any defects that were noticed. This we are revising to conform to New York State Town Law 65A3, which is, you know, one thing Cambria does is it tries to match the state law. The state law is now 10 days, so they're amending it to conform to the state law, which is going from 5 days, 10 days to notice. Probably means not much to very many people, but they're revising that from 5 days to 10 days so that it, again, matches New York State Town Law. So the property maintenance code. This is a 2013 local law. It was revised down to, you know, the violation level because this is another one that didn't really fit into either category. So it added the 15-day potential incarceration to the fine. So again, the choice is between $250, $15, or $1,000 a year. Property maintenance is not, you know, it's not a misdemeanor level according to the town, so they're setting it at the violation level. Chapter 173, the recreational vehicles, the parks, camping grounds. This is a 1972 ordinance. The first change, the 173.5A, is to remove the set fee. Again, removing the set fee. And this was another one where the penalties were in between the two levels. So the town is amending to standardize this to the violation level. So again, you violate the recs, parking, camping grounds section of the law, it's going to be $250 max fine, 15 days in jail, and that's revising it from $50 fine and 30 days in jail, which was the law passed in 1992. Chapter 181, the sewers and sewage disposal. That's a 1985 ordinance. This is, the first section is to revise, it's to make an internal citation manageable. This area is given a new section. It's referring to a new section in the code, so that literally is just to make it not refer to the old ordinance because we're going from ordinance to code. 181.5S is again to update the New York State Plumbing Code, which in 1985, perhaps they referred to it that way, but we're updating it again here to the New York State Uniform Fire Prevention Building Code. Section 181, that's again, we are picking here that we are going to land in the misdemeanor level here for violations of the sewer backflow law. You could do a lot of damage with a sewer violation, so the town is amending to have a $1,000 fine and 1 year max incarceration, because this was one of these areas where it sort of fell in between. And then the last one there, section 181.12G, we're just removing the set fees again because we're referring to the town's fee schedule. So, chapter 188, solar energy systems. This is another area like the building code that used to be in the zoning ordinance. It's being broken out, set in its own chapter. And again, like the battery energy storage system, its penalties are no longer referring to the zoning ordinance. It's referring to the new section of the zoning code, which is going to list one set of consistent penalties. So again, it's just pointing you to where the penalty section is going to be. Chapter 195, solid waste, the dumping section. It's a 1991 local law. Dumping must have been a big problem because the original law had this as a misdemeanor, so it's a $1,000 fine and a year in jail. The town is lowering those maximum penalties down to the violation level, so $250 and $15. Article 2, this is an interesting one. 195, they are just... The first one is amending to make the internal citations consistent again. We're referring to different parts of the code now and not to the ordinance. And they're reducing they're assigning a violation level for the violation of the first section. So A there, B is the more serious violation. They are actually setting that at the misdemeanor level. The 1991 code set this as maximum 6 months in jail and up to $1 million fine. The town is taking it down to a misdemeanor level and just saying a maximum of a year and a maximum of $1,000 fine. So that was, again, what we're trying to standardize some of these penalties. Chapter 224 on taxation. That's a 1985 local law. They have, in 1995, the state changed its real property tax law so that the reference, so that instead of 24 months that you had to wait for title to vest, it went down to 12, so the town's amending its law, which is intended to mirror the real property tax law, so we're going from 24 months to 12, again, to match the New York State law, which is the theme here. In 224.16, again, this is an updated name here. Instead of referring to the state board, we're actually telling which modern agency we're referring to, which is the Commissioner of Taxation and Finance. Again, just the nomenclature change. Chapter 231, the town-owned property, that's a 1981 ordinance. Again, they're just amending this to set it at the violation level. It was 250 and 30, so it was previously in between the two levels. Here they're reducing the penalties, maximum penalties, down from 250 and 15 days in jail. And when I say penalties, I mean these are sentencing guidelines for a judge. So this is just gives the judge a maximum range. So when a judge is considering if you violated the town-owned property statute and you were convicted, the judge has up to this range for either for a penalty. So that's what we're talking about. Chapter 244, Vehicles and Traffic. This is a 1990 ordinance. This one has to do with the citation to the penalties for winter parking. Here we're simply revising to point to the section of the vehicle and traffic law that dictates what the penalties are to make it clear that this is a vehicle and traffic infraction. And just so everyone knows, all vehicle and traffic infractions in the state of New York, except for paperwork type tickets, are they're violations. So there's a $250 fine, 15 days in jail. That's how the state treats every violation, vehicle and traffic, property maintenance, etc. Chapter 264, the water ordinance. This is a 2018 ordinance. The first change is again to remove those set fees. The second change is to change 30 days to 1 year, because this was again one of these areas where the penalties didn't match the current law. So it went from $1,000 fine, 30 days in jail, to $1,000 fine, and 1 year in jail. And the reason why it makes a difference is because when you go from a violation to a misdemeanor, a violation, the maximum is 15 days in jail. It's not considered an encroachment on liberty to the extent that you're entitled to a lawyer. So it makes a difference how you set these. Because if you set something to a misdemeanor and you're cited in court, you're entitled to an attorney because the penalties are, it's a misdemeanor, so it's a crime. Everything else is violation level. So it really is important to try to make these consistent. And again, as you can see, we're sort of going back in time and sort of rearranging these things that are a bit all over the map. Chapter 271, wind energy systems. Again, like the battery energy storage systems before, this is again just reciting to where the penalty section is going to land in the code. Chapter 278, that is an amendment, again, to remove set fees. And I think this is why everybody's here. We're getting to the zoning section. I'm going to go slow. So, if you can't hear me here, raise your hand. I'm going to be deliberate here and the best I can to explain what's happening and why. Personally, as an attorney, I like E-code because it makes my job easier. It makes it easier to find things, makes it easier to cross-reference things. The zoning ordinance in Cambria is difficult. It is large. It unnecessarily refers you around. So it puts you on a chase to find an answer that does not need to be. So I'm going to go through, I'll go through these codes. A lot of them are designed to make this easier. And I'll hope to, I'm going to try to explain why. So, the first one might as well be the, we might as well just get right here, because this is why I'm assuming 95% of us are here. There is a proposed definition change. 288-200. The definition of a farm in the definition section of the zoning ordinance is being revised from 5 acres to 7 acres. Why? Because the definition itself refers to a section of Ag and Markets law that says not less than 7. So this was flagged as an E code for an internal inconsistency. So we have the front part of the definition says 5, and the back part, if you go to the law it's citing, says not less than 7. So the E code says just revise it so that it's consistent, which is what is proposed here. But I think there's a lot of confusion as to the import of this particular definition. And I'm going to try to explain this in a way. I'm going to try to explain this in a way that, that makes sense, because it doesn't, it's going to be hard to explain because it doesn't really make sense.
Come to order. You're not going to disrupt this meeting.
I agree.
You're not going to disrupt the meeting.
I don't think that there should be a definition of a farm in here because it's irrelevant. And I'll explain why. Yes, but the definition of farm in this ordinance is meaningless. So, the definition of farm is in the definition section. The definition of farm, the word farm as a term, does not appear in any of the actual land use sections of the ordinance. So if you go to ag and, if you go to the ag district and you look at the permitted uses, it doesn't say farm. It says agricultural activity. It says animal husbandry, it says horticulture, it says agritourism, because those are what is defined in the ordinance. And just to give you, there is a reason why farm is here. I don't think it's a good reason, because it just confuses people. But I will just say this. Newfane does not have a definition of farm. There are farms in Newfane. There are the definition of farm.
Come to order, please.
The definition of farm varies from town to town to town to town, but only one municipality that I know of actually uses farm as a land use provision. That's the town of Wilson. That's why they did that. That's up to them. But the town of Lockport, the town of Royalton, Newfane, Somerset, they don't use farm, because farm is a blanket term, which is why it's here in this definition. Because this definition here refers to the agricultural assessment. The ag and market section that this refers to has to deal with how you qualify for an ag assessment, the ability to be taxed as a farm. It says 7 acres and $10,000 in sales, or if you have less than 7 acres, $50,000 in sales. But it's about an agricultural tax exemption. It's not about land use. We don't use, and again, I say we, everybody but Wilson, we don't use farm as a land use in terms of, because it's too broad. So we split it down into agricultural activity, which has its own specific definition, animal husbandry, own specific definition, horticulture, own specific definition, and agritourism. So if you were to just strike the farm definition out of the ordinance, nothing would change. If you were to leave it at 5 acres, nothing would change. If you were to set it at 1 million acres, nothing would change, because the ag exemption that it's referring to is set by state law. There's nothing that the town could ever do.
Tell you, we're going to start sending people out the door.
I can tell you right
now. We're going to start sending you out.
That the town of Cambria has no intent of having this change be substantive in any way. It was an internal citation.
Quiet.
If you have 5 acres and you grow crops, you are permitted to do so because you're engaging in agricultural activity. If you have 1 acre and you are growing crops, you are engaging in agricultural activity. Same thing. The only one that has any kind of a size aspect to it is animal husbandry, because if you've got less than 5 acres, then you need a special permit because the town needs to make sure you're able to keep the animals safely, humanely, and away from the neighbors, and that's the only one. So agricultural activity doesn't matter how big you are. Horticulture, it doesn't matter. Animal husbandry is the only one. You can get a special permit for it if you're reasonable. If you want to raise chickens on one acre, you just be okay with it. But the thrust of this is just to correct this internal inconsistency, because it says 5 and then it points to a law that says 7.
This isn't a question. This isn't a back and forth, people.
I've given my opinion on it. I'm just telling you why the change was flagged and what the rationale is.
It's not a question and answer right now.
I don't want to talk over you, but your question has landed. I can hear it, so I don't want to be rude, but there's a lot still left. So, 288-200. We're changing automobile laundry to car wash because it just makes sense. I don't know. It's almost funny that automobile laundry is in there. Section 305 about keeping transient rumors and borders. They're getting rid of that because that was an attempted reference at seasonal farm help, and that's again governed by ag and markets. Whether you have the right to do that or not, you're going to be governed by ag and markets. So there's it's sort of superfluous. That's everyone knows that's what the town intended to by transient rumors and borders. Playhouses, tool houses, and garden houses are deleted because it's unnecessary. These are not structures that require a building permit, so you don't need permission. You don't need to be told that you can put a playground up. So the problem is when you list things that you don't need a building permit for, that aren't structures that the town is going to need to consider accessory structures. If you make a list, the implication is that you're excluding everything else. So rather than having a list of 3, they're just deleting it because you know they don't need to be set out. We don't want to give anyone the impression that the only other structures you can have are the playhouse, the tool house, the garden house. Same. We haven't even opened the public hearing yet. I'm just going to try to get through this.
Right.
So 400 and 406, that's again the residential analog of the ag district changes we just went through. Section 288-401J, the agritourism section. This is one of these cases where we are literally just putting the text of that provision into the section instead of referring you to another section. So instead of pointing you to where to go, we're just going to print this paragraph for you so you can just read it right there. Same thing with section 288-500. In a medium density residential use district, it lists the permitted structures. And then it gets to a point where it says, and everything else that's considered permitted under these two sections. Well, rather than make someone flip back to the previous two sections, they're literally just putting it here in writing. It's not adding a new permitted use, it's just saving you the time from going back to the 400 section and then the 300 section. Same thing with section 288-600. They are literally just saying, these are your specific permitted uses, rather than making you go back to the previous two. So again, they're not expanding or contracting any permitted uses. They are simply saving you the flipping through the 3 pages, and it's an obvious change to as someone who reads the ordinance and has to. The next one, section 288-700, same thing. Instead of referring you to other sections for permitted uses, we're just going to set them out here so that you don't have to keep going back and forth. Section 288-701, Now we're flipping and we're setting out the specific prohibited uses rather than infringement use. This law is not changing what is a prohibited use in this district. It is simply saying, instead of making you go back to see what the other prohibited uses were, we're just going to put it right here. Section 288.1003, all the way at the bottom, after all the way down to Y, the wholesale business is again just to remove the set fee. And this is a new one. This is probably the first new addition, and maybe the only new addition that's in this. They're adding a new section to 288.101D, which, when someone goes to sell their house, the building department is going to now have to notify the future owner in writing within 30 days that this property has a special use permit attached to it, it's got conditions on it, heads up in case you want to continue this and renew it. Because otherwise, if no one tells you, you might not know that your property has a special permit. So it's a simple send a notification to that person, let them know they're buying a piece of property that's got a land use associated with it in case they want to continue it. Or in case they don't know the conditions that are on their special permit. They might realize they have a special permitted use, but they might not know what the conditions are because they weren't part of the process.
That's to get lawyers are for.
I'd rather know than have to get a lawyer. I'd rather not pay, but teach their own, I guess. 288.1109. Actually, I think I skipped one. So, the next one, the 1108. This is an artifact of the Cambria zoning ordinance that needs to go. When they were talking about permanent off-street auto storage parking, they had, if you go into the ordinance, you'll find it, they had a list of like every conceivable hypothetical setup you could have. Businesses broken out, and each one had its own parameters. So if you had a warehouse, you had to have this many parking spaces, and it had to be in this orientation. And it was 3 pages long. And if you happen to want to open up that kind of building, and your lot maybe isn't going to be conducive to that particular arrangement, you're going to be in a problem. So what we're doing here is eliminating those specific parameters and just giving more discretion to the planning board to look at your property and help figure out a parking space orientation that makes sense rather than trying to shoehorn people into what at some point someone thought was appropriate for each little breakout. Either business or public place, because there's a lot of them in there. Same thing in 1109. They're removing those specific parameters and just giving the planning board more freedom to take a look at your actual parcel and try to make a plan for parking and offloading and standing areas that make sense, rather than constraining them. So the town basically has general parking rules and general offloading rules, and they're just referring to those instead of the specific enumerated present requirements, which could be hamstringing to somebody in reality. Section 288.1113B, again, just removing a specific fee. 1126.4 is deleting that penalties and remedies section, because the bed and breakfast penalties had their own penalties for some reason. They were sort of their own, because again, it was passed in its own piece of legislation, so they're just eliminating that and making it consistent with the rest of the zoning penalties and setting it as its own consistent catch-all. So what they're trying to do here is instead of having 6 or 7 different types of penalties, just having one condensed penalty section and referring people there. And we'll get there in a minute. That's another one of these ones that bears an explanation. So this is the big one right here. 288.1129M4. The present zoning ordinance has an enforcement section that sets forth a civil penalty structure, which authorizes the building inspector to issue civil penalties for violations
that they are alleging are occurring. And they are permitted to withhold moving forward on a building permit or a zoning application until those civil penalties are paid. I have a huge problem with that because you have judge, jury, and executioner in the same person. So that needs to change. It needs to change. This enforcement mechanism is in addition to the New York State town law enforcement mechanism. So the New York State town law has its own list of penalties for zoning violations. I'm losing battery. I'm going to do the best I can. My battery's dead. So, New York State town law has its own basic default violations penalties enforcement mechanisms. The town is able to add on to it, which it did here with a civil penalty structure. What this is proposing is to get rid of the civil penalty structure and literally just copy and paste the New York State town law 268 penalties and enforcement mechanisms and just make that clear that that's the only penalties that the town has for zoning. It's already on the books, it's in the New York State law, but right now we have the civil penalty structure that needs to go. And everyone knows it needs to go. The building department knows it needs to go, which is why they've never issued a civil penalty, because they recognize that's problematic. I have never recommended one in my prosecutions for zoning because it's problematic. It needs to go. I don't know when it came into being, but it has no purpose anymore. So this section is eliminating that civil penalties framework and literally cutting and pasting the New York State town law penalties in there, which again are already on the books. If you were cited,
what are those?
They are. It breaks down the fines into offenses. So you have first offense, second offense, third offense, and it sets a max penalty for each and a max incarceration for each. And bear with me for 1 second when I get my longer explainer out. So anytime there was a zoning, I'll try to cut to the chase. Anytime there was a zoning enforcement mechanism in the zoning ordinance, it's being changed with the state laws. Because just to give you an idea, the special permit section had its own penalties and enforcements. Those were, you know, fines, $500 to $1,000 for first offense, $500 to $1,000, etc. They're making every penalty, just setting it at the state town law level. And hopefully I have the whole thing in here. So it's going to stay. It's going to stay. The civil penalty part in the law is the same figure that the state uses. The state uses, it's a fine that's issued by a judge. So you're looking at $350 for the first fine. Then it's this period of years. You get the second fine, third fine. It goes up to $1,000 maximum for persistent violators. So what you're doing in addition is you're adding on the incarceration provisions that are already in the state law as well. So what this amendments to this section are trying to do is make people aware of what the law is so they understand. If you don't know that there's a state law that dictates what the max penalties are, because it's not explicitly in the ordinance, you might not, I guess if you're going to decide how badly you want to violate the zoning ordinance, if you don't know what the penalties are, it's not really fair. And additionally, there's a civil penalty framework that is dubious at best and needs to go. So what we're basically doing is just making what is already the law in black and white writing so everyone can see
in a section and stripping out that civil penalty framework. And that's, again, across the board, because there were different penalties in different areas. Your special permit violations were one set of penalties. They're just making it all the same. It's all the state law. They're trying to make it consistent throughout the ordinance.
So that means it's the same for all the different towns, then, because they all have to be regulated through the state law?
A town is free.